Thank you. Good evening and Merry Christmas, Southern Utah. Welcome to our Christmas Eve Community Service 2023. My name is Guy Matthews. I have the honor of serving the Lord as one of the pastors at Calvary Chapel St. George, and just want to welcome you here tonight. It's a blessing to be here with you, and as we celebrate the greatest gift ever given to mankind, and that's the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? All right. Well, before we get started tonight, I can kind of see most of you. I would love, by a show of hands, is there anybody that's celebrating with us for the first time tonight? Wonderful. Welcome. What a pleasure. So tonight, we're going to be live streaming our service. So you can go to your favorite social media platform and go to Calvary Chapel and find the link and share that with your friends. You can also go to our website, which is calvarysg.com, and click on the link there. And then that way, if you have friends or family or people that you're are not physically with you, they can watch and join in with the service tonight. So if you want to do that, please feel free to share it with friends and family. Also, forgive me because I'm just sharing some information with you real quick before we get the service started. At the back of the room, we have information tables. On those tables are Bibles. There's also information about who Calvary Chapel is. And so if you didn't bring your Bible and you want to follow along tonight, you can pick one up at the table. But if you don't own a Bible, we would love to give you a Bible to take home so that you can have the Word of God at home with you. That is a gift to you from the Lord. So please don't go home if you don't own a Bible without a Bible tonight, okay? All right. Also, if you don't have a home church and you're looking for a place to fellowship, we would love to invite you to join us for service. We meet on Wednesdays and Sundays. Again, information for those times and services are at the information table, so you can pick that up and come and worship the Lord with us. Let's see. Finally, our heart, as we do this, is an outreach to our community. It's not about building the kingdom of Calvary Chapel. That's not important to us here. Our mission is to follow Jesus and to make him known to others. So when you leave tonight, you're going to see in the lobby some signs. They have a QR code on them. If you scan that QR code, it's going to give you a list of Bible-believing, Bible-teaching churches all across our community. We would love to see you get plugged in to a church that worships the Lord. Amen? Well, with that said then, let's pray and worship the King of Kings, huh? Father, as I look out at this room filling up with people and the opportunity that we have to come before you, to celebrate you coming to this earth, making a way for us, Lord, what better way to spend an evening than lifting our voices in praise to you, to worship you, to hear the story of how and why you came to save the world. So descend upon us, Lord, because we don't want to celebrate without you. Come, fill our hearts that we would lift our voices and sing your praise. In the mighty name of Jesus and all his people said, amen.
Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly with the angel was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill toward men."
Choir.
Amen. Give it up for the kids. Who's excited that it's Christmas time? Yeah, amen. Well, again, we want to welcome you guys, anyone who is maybe new to this service, or maybe you're new to our church, Calvary Chapel St. George, and this is your first time. We want to welcome you again, and we're excited that you are here, and we just have an amazing service planned, and we hope that you guys are blessed by it. But I'm going to be sharing a little bit of scripture with you guys tonight, if that's okay. If you guys have your Bibles, you guys can turn with me to the book of Luke. Chapter 1, we'll be in verse 26, and we'll read some scripture so we can kind of set the scene, so we can understand why we are doing this, of not just that Christ was born, but this portion of scripture is going to show us the beginning, the process in which before Jesus was born with Mary. And so if you guys can turn with me, we'll be in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And it says, "Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. Then the virgin's name was Mary." That's Jesus' mother. "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.'" Imagine an angel coming to you and telling you you were blessed and favored. "But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name" what? Jesus. Jesus. "He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible.' Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Again, this is just, hopefully this is going to set you guys up to understand the journey that we're embarking tonight. But we're going to continue in worship. If you guys can, I want to invite you guys to stand and join us in worship. Let's continue to worship.
Oh, come let us adore him in this place tonight.
Come let us adore him. Lord, we'll give you all the glory.
We'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the glory, Christ the
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you
your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? Your baby boy is Lord of all creation. Did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Did you know? Oh,
did you know?
Did you know?
Messiah has been long foretold and unto you, now unto you, Christ is come. Among us, Christ is come. Those born in darkness have seen the great light. The Redeemer of our hearts has been born. That unto you, will unto you, Christ is come. Let all creation see God's own Son. Oh, hail the newborn King, the Word made flesh, now dwells among us. Christ is come.
Man, that was sweet. Didn't want it to stop. But listen, we want to welcome everybody once again. And before you sit down, why don't you turn to your neighbor and wish them a Merry Christmas? One of the things that I'd like to do is just once again welcome you here to our community Christmas service. For those of you who may not know, my name is Jerry Camacho, and I'm blessed to serve as the senior pastor at Calvary Chapel. You know, Marisa, my beloved bride, and for us as a staff, listen, we just want to wish all of you a Merry Christmas. Thank you for coming out and joining us this night. So, Merry Christmas, everybody. You know, as a pastor, one of the greatest honors is to always open up God's word and share from the scriptures, but especially to do it on a night like this. I pray that all of us would not only be blessed, but it is, again, an honor to open up God's word and read through the Christmas story. And so, for those of you who may not know, the Christmas story is found in the Gospel of Matthew, as well as in the Gospel of Luke, which Pastor Josh and our kids' choir shared a portion of it. And didn't they do awesome tonight? Yeah. Praise the Lord. And so tonight I want to focus on Luke's account. I want to go ahead and read from verse 1 up to verse 20, and then actually verse 20 of Revelation. But anyways, we'll get there, okay? But listen, as we read the Christmas story, my prayer for us all is that we would walk away knowing Christmas is much more than just a holiday we celebrate. It goes much deeper than that. I hope and pray that we would walk away knowing what the true meaning of Christmas is, and that is God's amazing gift of salvation. You know, one of the things that I want us to kind of ponder on is this: God, who is beyond all space and time, who is uncreated, eternal, who, listen, descended into the universe that he created, came into nature, into human nature. He died and he rose again to bring nature up with him. Beloved, that's the Christmas story. That's what we're getting ready to look at. And so what I'd like to do, and I promise you, this is the last time tonight, but if you are able, out of reverence, let's all stand as I begin to read from Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Cornelius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judah, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with his wife, his betrothed wife, Mary, who was with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was. Then the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let's now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Father, thank you again for blessing us with this special night that we can open up your word, read the amazing event of Jesus coming into this world. And I pray now that you would just fill our hearts with your truth. God, help all of us here tonight, Lord, not be distracted, not be concerned about anything else right now. God, that we would give you this time to speak into our heart, that we too would walk away with understanding why we celebrate this special day. So God, do what you do best, and that is drawing hearts to yourself. God, we love you. We thank you for meeting with us here. We thank you for this celebration. Now bless us by revealing your truth to us. And it's in Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. You know, one of the things that I want to, you know, share with you tonight, of course, and just kind of break the ice a little bit. How many of us here have family traditions during Christmas? I don't want to, I know pretty much everybody, right? If not, get one. But listen, I think if we were all to kind of talk about what our family traditions are and our celebrations, they would be a little bit different. You know, for example, for some people, they celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve, which means that they have a big plan tonight for dinner, and then at midnight, they open up all their gifts, while others choose to wait till Christmas morning, and I believe those are the families that don't have any kids, right? But either way, it's okay. It doesn't matter. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, it's all good. Some start their celebration on December 1st. Listen to this. They read through the Gospel of Luke. They read a chapter a day going through the life of Jesus all the way to his resurrection. And I think this is a pretty good tradition because you get to see from the birth of everything that the Lord Jesus did while he was here on this earth. So I think that's a pretty good tradition. Others, they're kind of more, I guess, new, but others do this thing. This is new to me. I've never heard of this, but they do Elf on a Shelf. Okay, it's a new thing. I don't know. I never grew up with that, and so not too sure about how that works, but if you know it, email me and let me know. But listen, for my family, what we like to do is to wake up early on Christmas Day. After opening up our gifts, we eat our favorite breakfast, which is gorditas with chorizo and eggs, okay? And if you're wanting to know my address, you can't have it, okay? It's all for me. I'm selfish on Christmas Day. I'm Mr. Scrooge, right? But listen, we eat and we enjoy watching The Nativity Story, which was one of the films that we were playing during Mary, Did You Know? And if you haven't watched it, I would encourage you to watch it. It's kind of a good Christmas tradition for us. And of course, later throughout that day, Marisa would bake a cake, and it would be a German chocolate cake. And what amazes me about this is that both Jesus and I love the same kind of cake. Okay, so just, I'm amazed, right? But listen, all kidding aside, we all celebrate in a little different way, but this is my prayer for us, that no matter how you celebrate, please, beloved church, community, for those of you who are followers of Christ and know the truth, I want to encourage you, don't allow the traditions to replace Jesus, okay? For those of you who may be here tonight, you might be wondering, okay, pastor's up. We're doing pretty good on time. The pot roast is in the oven. He needs to hurry up. Some of us might be thinking other things that will distract us and pull us away from what I believe God wants to reveal to us. And so if we can commit, if we can devote to making sure that, yes, it's okay to have our traditions, but let's just agree to keep Jesus the center, okay? You know, this morning at our church service, we had two, and we had a family service, so we had no children's ministry, and we had kids in our sanctuary. It was pretty wild. And we read a Charlie Brown Christmas story. It was pretty cool. We had a little puppet. But as even myself reading through that book, I don't remember how many years ago that it has been written, but this is what it said in the book, that Charlie Brown was frustrated because Christmas became commercialized, that he really didn't know the meaning of it. And I just pray that that won't happen to us and our families, that we would stay true to hold on to this most amazing day ever. And so according to God's word, we're going to discover what that day is. And Christmas is all about the birth of Jesus Christ. And what makes this day special, the birth of Jesus literally would change the whole world. On this dark and cold night, the very first announcement of Jesus' birth went out to some shepherds that lived out in the fields. And as they went out about their normal routine, taking care of the flocks that they had, it says here that out of nowhere, an angel appeared before them. And the brightness of this angel, listen carefully, his appearance terrified them to the point where they were scared. As this angel stood before them, they had no idea who was in front of them or what was about to happen. And so the angel speaks up, and it was time for him to do what God sent him to do, which was to give this amazing announcement. And so the angel told the shepherds, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." So in other words, there's no need for you to be scared. Literally, this is going to be a good visit for you guys, right? And I don't know about you. I don't know what scares you, but I think if we were out in the middle of the desert with no lights, and all of a sudden something appeared for us brighter than anything humanly possible, I think all of us would be a little freaked out. Would you agree? Okay, don't leave me up here by myself. All right, thank you. I appreciate that. But listen, he spoke up. He reassured them, "I'm here with good news. I have been sent by God. And this news that I'm sharing with you is going to bring great joy to all people." Now, what's important about this, and I want to make sure that we all hear, that this message was not just for the shepherds. This message was not just for the nation of Israel. It says very clearly that this message that the angel would deliver was meant for all people. That's good news. And I pray that that would be one of the things that would kind of reign or remain in your heart. But listen, so what is the good news? Verse 11, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Do you realize that in this one verse, what did the angel reveal to these shepherds? A child has been born in the city of David? Okay. Some of us might be thinking, what's the big deal? What makes this child different compared to any others? Why would this announcement bring joy to all people? And of course, this announcement was a special one. And here's the answer. You want to know why it was different? Because this was no ordinary child. For the nation of Israel, the angel, this divine messenger that was sent from God, just revealed that this child was their Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And so when we look at this, he's here, he arrived. This is the exact same child that the Old Testament prophets shared and they declared who would come. And so, in other words, what's happening here is this. What God promised to do back in the Old Testament has just come. It has happened on this very night. This is why it's good news. And so the angel not only announced the birth of Jesus, but he also revealed his message, his mission. For those of you who may not know this, the purpose for Jesus' coming is found in his very name. Jesus' name means Yahweh is salvation. You see, Jesus came specifically to save us from our sins. This is exactly what the angel told Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. The son Mary would give birth to, they would call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. And so the truth is, I need to share a little bit of bad news with you. And according to the Bible, it says very clearly that all of us have a sin problem. Now, I know what you're thinking. Pastor, you must be talking about somebody in another row. Okay? But listen, here's the raw truth. All of us have sinned. Bible says we all have been disqualified to being in God's presence. And how did this happen? Well, it started ever since Adam and Eve disobeyed God's command in the Garden of Eden. When they chose to eat that fruit that God forbid them to, sin and death entered the world. And after the fall of man, after that disobedience, Bible says very clearly that everyone has been born with a sin and rebellious nature toward God. Now, some of you might still be looking at me going, "Pastor, I'm a good person. You're talking about somebody else." Okay. Let's put that to the test. You guys ready? How many of you have always obeyed the speed laws? How many of you have ever obeyed the signs on the wall that say, wet paint, do not touch? Lawbreakers by nature. I think I don't need to go any further. But the reality is this. The Bible is very clear that sin separates us from God. And the penalty of sin is death. And it's not just speaking of a physical death. It's eternal separation from God. The Bible also declares in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. But listen to this. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So according to this verse, the only one who can fix this sin problem is Jesus. And I also like the way Paul says it in Romans chapter 5. And I just want to read this to you. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man. And it says very clearly, this one man is Jesus Christ. Yet, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone. But Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and a new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, listen to this, many will be made righteous. So what was Paul saying in short? Again, Jesus is the only one who can set us free from sin. He's the cure. He is the one who came to rescue us. He is the one who saved us from sin and being eternally separated from God. He is the one who's come to redeem us and to bring us back into this amazing and personal relationship that God always desired from the very beginning when he walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. What an amazing picture. Can you imagine waking up and having God in your room? Can you imagine waking up and you're, you know, getting ready to come out into the living room and he has a cup of coffee waiting for you at the table with the Bible? Can you imagine him being the passenger? Lord, help us in our cars. Because when somebody cuts us off, I know we're not saying, God bless you, brother. Think about the picture. Think about this amazing truth that God came to be with us, to save us. And I hope and pray that you would understand the depth of that, because Paul himself in this verse also declared that Jesus is that gift. He is the ultimate gift. The gift of salvation comes from God. We can't do anything to earn it. We can't do anything to deserve it. No amount of good will ever give us a ticket into heaven. It is a gift that God gives for those who believe in who Jesus is. And so, after the shepherds heard this amazing message and the mission that this child had of saving all of God's people, it says here, they heard from this one angel, and then a multitude of angels came. The angels that showed up, this mighty armor of God, mighty armor of God's angels, confirmed Jesus' calling. And after that, they immediately left to go to Bethlehem in search of this child. And in verse 16, it tells us this, that the shepherds actually found Mary, Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. You see, what the angels told them, that's exactly what they found. This message was not only true, but they were able to witness their Savior wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And from that point, what did they do? They heard the message, they went and they searched, and they were able to see everything came true. Now notice this. From that point on, what did they do? It says they made widely known who this child is. In other words, as they walked outside of this home, whoever was out on the street, they began to declare that this was their Savior. How the angel came and appeared before them. How this was that promised Messiah that would come. In other words, there's no longer a wait. Our deliverer is here. Now, can you imagine being a nation that has been oppressed for over 400 years, and all of a sudden you hear your God has showed up? That's some good news. And so not only did they make it widely known, but I also want to point out this really clearly. There were some who heard this message and others who missed out on the message. Remember, on this night, Mary and Joseph were not blessed to stay in a comfortable inn. So everybody in that inn missed out on the most amazing miracle ever. All of those who were too busy, who were all working that night, missed out on the beautiful message of hope that would come through this child. And sure enough, there were others, though, who heard. And the moment they heard, it says they marveled. They were astonished. They were amazed at the news that just came. And again, after so long wondering where God is, all of a sudden they hear, your deliverer is here. What a blessing. So they rejoiced. And it says for Mary, she tucked those things away in her heart. She would need to hold on to these things that happened on this night. Why? Because the challenge of being the mother to a perfect son, that's some pressure. Would you agree, ladies? You already have enough problems with your husbands, right? Let alone you have a son who's perfect. Now listen to this. Some heard and rejoiced. Others missed out. Mary tucked it away and held on to it in her heart. But for these shepherds, after they shared everything, after they were finished witnessing everything that they needed to see, it says that they left back to the fields and they left rejoicing. They left praising God because of what they heard and what they were able to see with their own eyes, that this announcement was true. They received it as a gift. They received it as their own eyes saw Jesus lying there in this manger, and they believed in their heart that this child is their deliverer, their Messiah, the anointed one that was to come. And so what's amazing about this is that, again, Jesus' birth is not only a miracle, but it's the very prophecies that were said some 500 plus years before he was born. And those prophecies came from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 tells us this: therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. The next verse that I want to share with you from the same prophet, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6: for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and his name will be called. Notice the prophet describes the names of who this child will be. Wonderful. In other words, he's not a bad God. Some of you may be wondering, well, if he's not bad, then why are there so much bad things happening in our world? Here's the truth. Because we live in a broken world. The moment that sin entered the world, death came along with it, and it disrupted everything that God ever planned. So it's not unusual for a world to act in that brokenness. But he's a good God. It also says, Counselor is his name. Do you realize the beauty that we have before our hands? That no matter what life experience you go through, God's word has the answer for you. How many of you know what that acronym for Bible means? Basic instructions before leaving earth. Pretty cool. I thought it was cool. Maybe you didn't. I don't know. But here's something else I want to share with you. He's mighty God. Very clear. There's no beating around the bush on that one. He is mighty God. He is everlasting Father, which represents that he has always existed. He wasn't created. He is the Prince of Peace. And the reality is once you know God, that's when we discover what true peace is. And I just pray after reading these two verses that you would realize the reason why Jesus' birth is not only a miracle of all miracles, not only did it fulfill prophecy, but according to these verses that we just read, and there are many others, this child, listen carefully, is God himself. I want us to understand the beauty of what we're seeing here, because in chapter 7, verse 14, when it says that this son shall be called Emmanuel, when you look up what the name Emmanuel means, the translation of it is God with us. When you look at, again, the names that were given in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, direct us, point us to the fact that this child, listen carefully, is God himself. Now, here's the picture that I want you to see. Christmas is all about, once again, the birth of Jesus, the announcement of it, his mission. But now I want you just to listen to this. Out of love, God came for you and me. God, who would humble himself and enter this world, that he would take upon flesh and blood and be born through a virgin. He would grow up so that he would lay down his life. He went from a manger to a cross, from the womb to the tomb. And then 3 days later, he would rise again from the grave, proving that no thing, no one has authority over him. By him raising from the dead, listen carefully, he proved his power over Satan, sin, death, and hell. This is why Jesus' birth is to be celebrated on this amazing night where God himself would come into this world for the sole purpose of saving us, of drawing us back into a right relationship with him. And if you are willing tonight to understand that you are willing to open up your heart and let God reveal that truth to you, the Bible tells us very clearly, you will be delivered and you will be saved from the penalty of sin. So the reality is this, and I want to close with this, the true meaning of Christmas. Get this picture and let it remain in your hearts. God, out of love for all of humanity, came to save us. Hey, you were reading my notes. I'm just kidding. A little boy said, came to save us before I said it. Isn't that a blessing to hear tonight? Amen. I want to invite the worship team to come up, and I just want to share just really briefly one more minute as they work their way up. I'm pretty sure all of us tonight, when we leave this place, we're all going to gather with family, and I'm pretty sure we're going to exchange gifts. And what amazes me on this night, as gifts are being given, the only way that you're going to be able to enjoy this gift is you first need to be able to receive it. You know, I frustrate my kids and my wife, I think, at times, because at Christmas, when everybody's passing around the gifts and they give me mine, I kind of just hang on to it. I don't open it right away. And I just kind of take a seat back, and I love watching, whether it's my wife or my kids or my grandkids, man, just tear open those gifts, and they're flinging paper everywhere, and they finally open it up, and it's the gift that they wanted, and if it's not, they pretend like it is. That's pretty cool. They don't break Papa's heart. But the joy of receiving it, tearing it open, taking ownership, having it as their possession, and they enjoy it because they're using it, they put it on, or they play with it, or they just hold it in their hand. And I want you to understand that tonight, that same picture is available for you. In the Christmas story, God used the census to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. He also used an angel to announce the birth of Jesus to some shepherds. He would also use a star to help those from afar come and worship Jesus, those wise men, those magi that came almost 2 years after Jesus' birth. God used all of those different things for people to have an encounter with him. And I believe tonight is no accident that you're here. I believe that tonight God may have used, listen carefully, a family member, maybe a coworker. Maybe you were driving around town stressed out and frustrated because you could not find that perfect gift for your loved one. Maybe you saw a banner on the side of the road. Maybe you were stuck at a signal light off a sunset and the eight, whatever that triangle is. For those of you who live in Utah, you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you saw the billboards. Maybe you received a personal invite. Why? Because God loves you, and his sole purpose for us being here tonight is to hear of his love and the desire that he has for you, that he loved you so much that he has a desire to spend all of eternity with you. That is some good news. I don't know about you, but I'm so, now you have to use my words carefully. I don't want to get myself in trouble here. But I'm tired of the news that we hear of today. I'm tired of hearing of the wars. I'm tired of hearing how our world is falling apart. I'm tired of seeing Jesus being replaced by so many other things. And the truth of the matter is that even through all of the ugliness and everything that is happening, even though we don't deserve to be in God's presence, out of love, he showed us that he cares, that he has a desire to be with you, and a desire, as he came down to rise up, to bring nature with him, that he has a desire to spend everlasting life with you. That is what I want this world to hear, because right now, that's good news. That is the news that I desire for this world to hear, and not just hear, but embrace. Because when you embrace it, as I said earlier, when you believe in who Jesus is and what he did on the cross and how that was the atonement for our sins, bringing us back, reconciling us to a right relationship with God, listen, you know what happens? A new life, a new start. You have now an opportunity to walk with God until you see him face to face. You have an opportunity to grow in this relationship with him. And as you remain here on this earth for as long as God tarries, there is a reward. In other words, this place is not our home. We're going to get to enjoy a world the way God always desired of it, with us walking with him, us worshiping him, us being with him in a world, listen carefully, where there's no more sin. That's good news. Amen. And that is the ultimate gift I want to invite you to receive. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. This is a moment between you and God right where you're at. You've heard the message. You've heard the truth about what Christmas is all about. You've heard how out of love God came to save us. The shepherds heard it. You heard it. Now my challenge to us is, what are you going to do with it? For those of us who know Jesus, for those of us who have already received this amazing gift, press on. Stand firm in the faith. Love Jesus with everything that is within you. But for those of you who came in here who didn't, who have not made Jesus the Lord and Savior, my question to you is, why wait? Why not receive on this amazing night the greatest gift ever, and that would be Jesus? You pray, You pray along with me. You receive him into your heart. You believe in who he is. And I guarantee you, you're going to walk out of this place knowing what true peace is like. You're going to walk away out of here being changed day after day into God's image. And that is something I pray that all of us would walk away with tonight. That we would just not celebrate Christmas as just another holiday, but that we would celebrate Christmas because of the gift that God has given us, and that is eternal life. Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
Amen. Listen, for those of you, really quick, for those of you who would like to receive Christ into their hearts, I'm going to ask that all of us just bow our heads, and this is a time for you to pray before God. This is a prayer between you and him. It has nothing to do with the person sitting next to you. I want to encourage you, whether you pray it out loud or pray it in your heart, this is your choice. But I will tell you this, what's important is that you pray it. It's your choice. You can walk away and not pray, and that's your, again, your choice. But for those who want to, I want to encourage you right now, repeat this prayer with me. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross. And I've learned today that he died for the sins of the world. I've learned today that Jesus is the cure for sin. So God, I come before you and I confess that I've sinned against you. Would you please forgive me? For I believe by faith in Jesus' death and his resurrection. I believe by faith that my sins are forgiven and I'm at peace with God. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and for saving me. God, would you please come into my life and teach me your ways? And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Listen, I want to encourage you all. If you made that prayer sincere before you leave on your way out, there's going to be a group of people back there that have lanyards that say, we're here to serve you. I want to encourage you, if you made that prayer between you and God sincere, stop on by so they can pray with you. We want to make sure that you have a Bible in your hand. We want to help encourage you where to start reading in your Bible. And we would love, once again, if you do not have a home church, to join us for fellowship. And on your way out, as you get ready to leave, don't forget, if you're looking for a church, scan that QR code there. There are other churches throughout this valley who are celebrating a Christmas service tonight. Listen, it's not about one church. It's about us loving who Jesus is, being a part of the body of Christ. Tonight's celebration is not about a church. It's about Jesus Christ and him rising from the dead and giving us the most amazing gift ever, and that is eternal life. That's what we're all about. And so scan it. Get plugged into a good Bible-teaching church. And again, I pray on behalf of us at Calvary, we want to wish you all a Merry Christmas. Have a blessed evening. God bless you all.
Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat.
unspeakable joy, an overflowing well, no tongue can tell. Joy, unspeakable joy, it rises in my soul, never lets me go.
God bless you all. Thank you so much for coming tonight. If you need prayer for any reason, we would love to pray with you over there. We've got a great prayer team. If you need a Bible, please get one. Otherwise, God bless you all. Merry Christmas.